Let me ask a few questions just to get us started off here. Let's say that you go to your high school reunion. Could be your 5-year reunion, could be your 25-year reunion. And you spend time with your old buddies and your old friends and you just hang out. And at the end of the night, does anybody say to you, "You haven't changed a bit"? You know, maybe it's because you don't have wrinkles on your face. But you know, if somebody says to you, "You haven't changed a bit," what's being said is, you are no different and you haven't grown from the way I knew you 5 or 25 years ago. What if circumstances bring you back under the leadership of a manager that you had a few years ago? Either they had left the company and have now come back, or you took a new job with the company that person now, you know, exists in. And they sit down with you after a 6-month review. Would the weaknesses in your performance. See, I say weaknesses. Some of you say opportunities, opportunity areas. No, it's weaknesses, okay? Just your weak areas. You know? Would the weaknesses that he or she had tried to scrub out of you 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, would they still be the same things today that are keeping you from being effective and efficient? How about this one? You have a date with your ex. You go out with your ex, you sit down for dinner, and in about a half an hour, you realize that the things that you did to contribute to the relationship's breakup are still present. Does that happen with you? How about if you pulled out your calendar from a year ago, and if you took a look at all the blocks of time that you spend now on things versus a year ago, would you find that you have been spending your time in the ways in which you wanted to spend your time a year ago to be able to deal with the things that you would need to deal with? What if there was an external audit of your life? Somebody came in and did an external, internal audit and lined up your character qualities and the credit aspect, put all the credits to your character. And then on the debits, they put all the debits to your character. What would the sum total be of your character quotient? And if they compared that spreadsheet from this year to last year to the year before to the decade before, would they see an increase in some total character assets over that span of time? See, these are the things that are real growth. These are the things that indicate that we are changing, that we are going deeper. Leo Tolstoy, the Russian novelist, said this. He said, "Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself." You know, it's so easy for us to see the problems in other people or the problems in our world, but we tend to not see the problems in our own life, or if we see them, we don't grow out of them. We don't change. I want to give you 4 statements today about growth. There's 4 foundational statements, 4 foundations for growth. And you know, in the art world, foundations are the principles upon which all good art is formed. Color balance. You know, how one color or hue looks against another. Composition, how one object looks against the other. Music theory, you know, the tonal precepts upon which all great music is formed. I mean, these are called foundations in the art world. And there are foundations for growing that before we learn anything in this series, we've got to understand these foundations. They don't change. They never have changed. They never will change. Foundation number 1, growth is natural, but not normal. Growth is natural, not normal. What I mean by that is that it is in our nature to grow. If we are in a healthy state, it is in our nature to grow. The big if there, though, is in our healthy state. See, because I spend a lot of time with a lot of people, I do, in different walks of life, and I've just found out that growth is not normal. You know, there are depressingly few people that really see life change, that really grow. People presume to be healthy, but if you look at the earth structure, the structure underneath the earth line, it's not there. And then you know when something, a problem comes along or something happens, they topple over. Because they weren't healthy to begin with. Healthy things naturally grow. You know who has the greatest growth rate? I found that the people who have the greatest growth rate are new people who are connected with God. New followers of Christ. I find that they have the greatest growth rate. Part of that is because they have the greatest knowledge gap, and there's just a lot of stuff that they can learn because, you know, they're on a steep learning curve. But part of it is because they are tying into what Jesus talked about in this verse out of the book of Mark. Actually, it's a couple times in the Bible. And here's what it says. It says this, Matthew, excuse me. And he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus pulled aside a little child one day. And people said, get this kid out of here. Come on, he's bugging us. See this little child here? People like this are the greatest. And you, he looked at all people who were adults or older or in high school or junior high like we might have in here, and said, you need to become like this little kid right here. Why is that? You know, because little children are humble. Little children are teachable. They are sponges. They will change. And what does a little kid say? Kids say stuff like, when I grow up, I want to be, you know, what do we say? When you grow up, you'll be like me. If you just get your act together, you'll start thinking about things like me. And, you know, so if somebody offends us, the problem is them. We never think it's us. If a problem goes awry, hey, it's you messed up. It's not my perspective might have been wrong. We assume to protect our turf. And what this is pride. Little children aren't prideful. And we tend to be spiritually prideful people. The older we get, the less that we think that we have to learn, the less teachable that we are. And Jesus says, look, here's the deal. Unless you become like a child, lose your spiritual pride, lose your thoughts that you think you have it all together, you will not have a great relationship with God. It will not happen. Mark Twain said this. He said, the only people who like being changed are wet infants. Now, I want to paint with broad strokes with the statement here. You know, it's this. When I look to invest my life in somebody, I look for newer followers of Christ to invest my life into. Because I find, unfortunately, the longer you've been in a church, the longer you've been religious, the longer you've been, you know, whatever, the more you tend to think that you have it all together and that everybody should be benchmarking against you and your opinion is the way it should be. And if I feel this way, then that's the way it is. And the less tangible growth that takes place, that's not the way it should be. But unfortunately, it's the way it seems to be. You know, people are in churches, and this one, all across the country, convinced that all they do is they come to church, they're going to grow, they're going to honor God, they're going to satisfy God. And to be clear, there is a place for sitting, facing forward learning. There is a place for that. But that is so minimal in growth. So one of the reasons why we've identified around here the five windows for spiritual growth. We just find over and over again in our research and things that happen here, there's five windows, five big spheres where growth happens. There's stuff like when you're a newer follower of Christ, that first year or two, right after that, you're just like a sponge. When there's crisis and chaos in your life, when you're involved in a leadership endeavor that honors God, that is stretching you, when you are in a cross-cultural serving opportunity, when you're in some place and it's just, you know, bigger and beyond where you are, and it really causes you to stretch yourself and realize, my goodness, God is a heck of a lot bigger than this little itty-bitty box that I'm in. And the fifth one, and I can't believe I just, you know, I get up here on stage and I forget things. And I know it's an important one. The fifth one, and it's going to come to me. Some of you have been around, can't help me here. What if I fit, huh? There is five, and it'll come to me in a moment. I mentioned them out of order, and it totally messed me up. But what we've done here is we've said, okay, we're going to staff against those things. We're going to create ministries against those things. Those are going to be serious, critical things. Because growth is 24/7. It's not just coming and not just sitting here. It is 24/7. In his book, Bureau and the Mole, David Weiss tells a story about the vilest double agent in the history of America. In exchange for diamonds and cash, Robert Hansen was the worst double agent this country's ever known. He's done more injustice and disservice to all of his American countrymen and friends than anybody ever has. He wouldn't just reveal information for cash. He would reveal entire systems that compromised our nation's security. He actually sold the Russians our entire nuclear defense strategy. And now, as a follower of Christ, the thing that I found the most unfathomable about the case is this was a guy who was convinced that he was a grower. This was a guy who was convinced that God was honored with his life. Because he checked the box every Sunday, went to church. He was a part of the elite Catholic societies like Opus Dei. And he just was convinced that he was in a great place. David Weiss states this. He says, Hansen reasoned that as long as he regularly confessed his sins to various priests and sought forgiveness, he would remain in a state of grace. So, hey, I can sit there and do confession every week and go to church and then, for cash, compromise the welfare of millions of people and I'm okay. Because I've done the absolute, I've gone to church, I've done the religious thing, I've done the spiritual thing. Everything above the earth line looked great, but you know, the roots in his life were awful. They were rotted. All of us need to maintain a childlike spirit before God. We say, you know, I recognize I have not figured it all out, and I need to be in a perpetual state of learning in humility. Childlike, but not childish. There's a difference. You know, being childlike is when you are humble and you have the heart and purity and innocence of a little child. Childish is when you act immature. Is when you just have not got the pieces of life put together. You're emotionally unstable. You're, you know, physically weak. Every area of our life needs to move beyond being childish to childlike. It's the second foundation for growth. And this growth is total, not partial. Growth is total, not partial. You know, if you moved from, say, Hyde Park to Loveland, there would be some changes in your life, but not a lot. I mean, you would have to figure out some new driving patterns. You could try to figure out the new grocery store to go to. And thankfully, you would never have to go to Hyde Park Kroger again. My goodness, that thing is just, you know, nuts. So, but there would be some new things you have to learn. You have to learn a new school system. But it's nothing like if you took a transfer from, say, Mount Lookout to Korea. If you took a transfer of that magnitude, at that point, everything changes. You've got to learn a new language. You've got to learn a new dressing style, perhaps. You've got to learn how to drive on a different side of the street, perhaps. I don't know what side of drive in Korea, but you probably have to learn something in terms of your driving habits. Currency. You know, trying to figure out, oh gosh, how does the currency translate? And this and that, you know. That kind of change is a total overall life change. You just don't make some tweaks. And see, if you think that when you come to really honor God, that you're just going to make some little tweaks in your life, man, no, you're not. Everything comes up on the table. Massive changes in how you view the world happens, how you view your language, how you view everything. Things change because God is not concerned about individual itty-bitty parts of your life. He is concerned about the totality of life. This is why it says in Ephesians 4:15, it says this. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Key phrase, in all things grow up. In all things grow up. I mean, some of us think, yeah, you know, I'll stop swearing less, and I'll start, you know, saying nice spiritual things, and I'll stop, you know, doing two packs a day, and I'll do one a day, or I'll do it. And all these things might be good or bad on one level or another, but, you know, it's not the individual item that God is interested in. It's in all those things together, because in all things, He wants us to grow up. The totality of our life, He wants to be conformed to be the image of what Jesus was about. To have our life be exactly like Jesus. And so many of us think that growth is just about scrubbing out the scandalous thing in our life that might get us fired. Or growth is just about getting something in our life that can cause us to succeed and then get more money. Now, because I find out that you dig when I talk about my issues, I'll talk about a few of my issues that you can learn from. In terms of, you see, you're laughing. Good, I love this part. You know, so you can learn from some of the things that I've been trying to grow up into in all things. Oh, gosh, 18 months ago, 2 years ago, somewhere from 12 to 24 months ago, I found out that people who were my direct reports, who had a reporting relationship with me, were getting inordinately verbally abused by me. And there was a lot of things that were happening where they were misunderstanding me, or I was saying something I shouldn't have done. There was just a lot of hurt stuff. And finally I was like, man, something is, you know, not right here. So needed to grow in that. So some people started working with me on that. Went to a counselor on it. I'm kind of working on it because I realized, hey, this is an all thing. It's not just, well, hey, you know, I'm the boss, so I can say and do what I need to do. No. In all things, I need to grow in this area. So one of the things I did is I went and got a little tape recorder. And I would tape every single conversation. I'd sit down and pull a thing out and click. Just sit, of course, I'd ask them. I wouldn't, like, hide it in my coat, you know, and then bust them with something they said. I'd say, well, if I tape it, no, that's fine. So for several months, I would just pull out a little tape recorder and tape every single conversation. Just that alone was a propeller to growth, because you're more aware of how you say what you say and why you're saying things. And then if something happened where somebody was hurt or bruised, I'd go back and we'd revisit the tape and I'd take a look at what was said and how it was said, because I wanted to grow up in that area. All things, God's concerned with how I speak. For years I've been plagued by my back just bam going out, and by inflexibility and just kind of sitting and doing my messages on my laptop and just thinking about my back the whole time, as opposed to being concentrating on what I need to say. And so finally I said, you know what, I need to grow out of this. If this is a congenital thing, then so be it, but I've got to figure out how I can grow out of that. People have been saying, Brian, have you lost weight? Have you lost... I guess I have, but I haven't tried to. I've not been about losing weight at all. I've been about trying to firm and strengthen the muscles that are up in this area and increase my flexibility so my back isn't an issue. And all of a sudden, back isn't an issue anymore. Because how I manage my body, I needed to grow into that. How I manage my body is a reflection of what I think about God. You see, the tape recorder thing, it wasn't a verbal damage thing. It was a growth thing. This is not a weight thing. It's a growth thing. It's a health thing. I had an unexpected financial pop recently. Years past, whenever I have an unexpected financial pop, we're like, hey, okay, let's go to Best Buy. Here we come. We go out to Best Buy or then as I started to grow more, I said, well, I'm not going to go to Best Buy. Now I'm going to start dealing with some of the debt. And now point we get a financial pop, and now I think, okay, how does this impact giving? This is a huge thing. Talk about God's blessed with more. So how much more goes out? How does that all work out? See, it's not a money thing. It's a growth thing. Because in all things, I want to grow up to be like God. In all things, when I grow up, I want to be like Jesus. Because when I do that, as I grow in that area, life makes sense. It comes together. And it's fun to see your life take form. It's fun to see you being a work in progress that's get formed root by root, limb by limb. Third foundation for growth is that growth is tangible, not conceptual. It is tangible, not conceptual. A couple months ago, my wife Libby and I, we were in Chicago for something, and we went to IKEA. IKEA! How many of you remember that television commercial from years ago, or radio commercial? You don't remember that? That was a great one. IKEA! I can't think of IKEA without saying it. So anyway, we go to IKEA. In case you're not familiar, this is the big Swedish, you know, furniture deal. Like, Cincinnati is right in the middle of no man's land. We've got Pittsburgh 5 hours this way, Chicago 6 hours that way. So we're in Chicago, and Libby says, oh, let's go to IKEA. I said, all right, hon. All right, you know, fine. Okay, so we go in IKEA, 3 floors, 300 square feet, 300,000 square feet. I get through that baby in about an hour. You know, okay, let's go. We ready to go? What's next for our day? Lib looks at me and she goes, you're no fun to shop with. See, because I was trying to do my best, but, you know, I get in the middle of IKEA, and I swear they have girly foo-foo dust in the HVAC system, because I get tired and I go in there. I just start walking. It's like, oh, and she's looking at little candles and carpet things. Oh, wouldn't this be? I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to do my best. I'm just getting drowsier and drowsier and drowsier, and then we're done. And, you know, she said, I'm never going to you with IKEA again. I went, darn. Okay. Well, you put me in Home Depot, I'll take my vacation in that bad boy. I'll tell you what, you put me in Home Depot, I'm exhilarated, I'm fired up, I'm going down aisles, I'm reading stuff. And then as I'm making my way to the cash register, I'm seeing other stuff that I want to buy. Ooh, I need to put that cabinet. I'll take that cabinet, thank you very much. Oh, that reminds me of that hole. I'll take that hole. Oh, you know, I've always wanted to get around to put a new fixture on the thing. Yeah, I'll take that fixture. And I'm just grabbing stuff off, you know, things and all that stuff. You know, taking the money that I just had the financial pop with probably. You know, I'm spending all my money on this stuff. I get up to the counter, and by this time I've got all these different projects that are represented in the house. And some of you are thinking, hey, you know, gosh, I'd love to have someone do stuff at my house. Well, no, you didn't hear me. I bought stuff. That's different than doing stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because the problem is my last run through Home Depot, all the crap I bought, it's still at home, unapplied, uninstalled. Having stuff is no good if you're not doing stuff. What good is stuff if you're not doing stuff? What good is the product if you're not tangibly producing anything with the product? You know, my nightmare for my job, what I do here on Sunday, Saturdays, Next Level, my nightmare, my utter nightmare, I wake up at night every once in a while fearful of this. My nightmare is to give you all kinds of concepts that don't tangibly produce anything in your life. That's my nightmare. That's my utter nightmare. My nightmare is that you might become somewhat like this guy.
So what's this? The taste is choice moment between guys?
This is really nice. You got a thing for swans? Is this like a fetish? It's something like maybe we need to devote some time to?
Thought about what you said to me the other day about my painting.
Huh?
Stayed up half the night thinking about it. Something occurred to me. I fell into a deep, peaceful sleep and haven't thought about you since. You know what occurred to me?
No.
You're just a kid. You don't have the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Why, thank you.
It's all right. You've never been out of Boston.
Nope.
So if I asked you about art, you'd probably give me the skinny on every art book ever written. Michelangelo. I know a lot about him. Life's work, political aspirations, him and the Pope, sexual orientation, the whole works, right? I bet you can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. You've never actually stood there and looked up at that beautiful ceiling. Seen that. I ask you about war, you'd probably throw Shakespeare at me, right? Once more into the breach, dear friends. You've never been near one. You've never held your best friend's head in your lap and watch him gasp his last breath looking to you for help. I ask you about love, probably quote me a sonnet. I look at you, I don't see an intelligent, confident man. I see a cocky, scared kid. You're an orphan, right? Do you think I'd know the first thing about how hard your life has been, how you feel, who you are? Because I read Oliver Twist. Does that encapsulate you?
Now, a lot of us are like Matt Damon. I'm going to give you a little exercise that we can do right now to help you determine if you're a concept person or a tangible person. If you've been here the last 5 weeks, this will be simple for you to do. Let's talk about what happened 5 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago, we talked about forgiveness. We talked about the need to get over our grudges. And if somebody bums us out, even if they don't come and ask for forgiveness, we need to release it and let it go. So, hey, the last 5 weeks, how you been doing with the people who you have grudges against? Have you been kind of bumming out of people, or are you freely offering grace and releasing forgiveness? Week after that, we talked about being real, taking down our guard, being honest with God, maybe praying to God and saying things that we think that He doesn't want to hear, but He already knows because He's God. Talked about being real with one another, not playing a game. Have there been any changes in that area? Any tangible follow through there? And we talked about real friendships. We talked about the need to be vulnerable with one another. We modeled that. We talked about disclosing tender information, maybe making a hard call, receiving information from others that's difficult. Have you been more vulnerable? Have you disclosed more things about yourself to people you trust? Have you reached out to people? Talked about truth, the fact that truth is oftentimes something we don't like and you can be sincerely wrong. Have you thought about things that you thought were right that maybe aren't right just because you had a really strong conviction about it? Have you actually examined that, or have you kept up your barriers and said, no, I feel it, therefore it's true? Have you looked at that? Last week we talked about high places, that there are things that are above God in our life and our priority structure that should not be above, actually shouldn't be in our life at all. We talked about taking those down. Have you taken anything down in your life in the last week that's been competing with God that hasn't been good? Or, if it was a good thing but was higher than God, have you notched it down so it's coming underneath God as being God? Have you tangibly changed or grown in that area the last week? Anything on this stuff? See, these are the people who grow. It's not the people who go to church. It's not the people who have knowledge. It's not the people who have concepts. It's not the people who have a bunch of stuff picked up. It's the people who have applied and built something in their life, who have actually followed through. Last week we had an open house, which is for people who have newer to Crossroads, trying to figure out what this place is about. And there's a question and answer time. It's a part of those. And somebody put this in an anonymous card. I thought it was fantastic. Here's what this person said. I don't know if it was a woman or a man. Says this. My high place today was a big, fat marijuana cigarette. Keywords, big, fat. When at the end of the service we smashed it and buried it, it felt good. But I couldn't bear to bury it 6 feet under. Can Crossroads help? Read that thing. The person read it to me. He was facilitating the meeting. I said, yes! Yes! Somebody who is in growth mode. Somebody who is being real. That is growth. And I have no idea if this last 7 days that person has followed through on that or not. But hey, at that moment, that person is trending like a child. Trending like a child and saying, man, I'm aware now. I want to be open to this kind of stuff. Somebody else last week asked me another question. They said, how many people do you think who come to Crossroads are seekers? People who have not chosen to make a commitment to Christ and be a follower of Christ. And there's a lot of ways to look at that. We've done a lot of studies on that. And you could talk to different ministry leaders who interact with various people in our church. And it's kind of hard to nail it down. But here's in essence what that looks like. Probably about 20% of you who are here this morning, you are self-proclaimed seekers. You're saying, hey, I'm not sure about the whole God thing. And I'm definitely not sure about the Jesus thing. No, I'm up for thinking about it. I want to seek. I want to figure out what's right. You're about 20% of you. It's fantastic. And about 30% of you, recently, you've actually given your life to Christ. You've become a Christian. You have made a decision to surrender yourself and say, I want to devote myself to God. It's about 30%. Then about 25% are probably what we would call seasoned and growing followers of Christ. You've been walking with Christ for a while. Your mind has been altered. Your emotions have been altered positively. Your body's been altered positively. Your prayer life has been altered. Your thought process, your relational habits. You are seasoned, growing. You're in open growth mode, and things are coming into your life. You're growing higher, and you're growing deeper at the same time. And then about 25% is what I'll call diluted, seasoned, and growing followers of Christ. You know, you've been going to church your whole life. You know, you've been going to a service or a mass or a Bible study you've been going to church your whole life and I'm a seasoned and growing follower of Christ. I've been around, I've been walking with Christ 20 years. And I said, no, you haven't. I need to have it. Even walk with Christ 1 year 20 times. Or maybe 6 months 40 times. Because if you look at the state of your life right now, it's no different than after the first year you ever got introduced to Christ. There's no tangible growth. There's no tangible difference. You know, hey, basic stuff. Like, are you gossiping less? Are you giving grace and forgiving people more? Are you honoring those in authority over you and giving them the benefit of the doubt? Are you becoming less selfish with your financial stuff? I mean, basic stuff has not happened for you. Everything above the earth line looks good, and you're there to judge high and mighty, like, hey, I'm God's gift to maturity. Be like me because, you know, I've got a Bible verse memorized and a sticker on the back of my car. But intangible life change. Tangible, am I trending towards God? Are there roots growing vibrantly deeper? Am I getting a hold of my sin areas? Am I adding to my positive areas? Emotions haven't been harnessed. Mind hasn't been expanded. Body hasn't been healthened, if that's a word. No, that's what it means to grow up into all things. And this is exactly what God talks about in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. It says this. It's hard to explain because you're so slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, there's a word in here that's very important, infant, and we'll come back to this in a moment. Word infant, very important to understand, this word is different than the word Jesus talked about for being a child. You know, because this word for infant here means somebody who is inexperienced, somebody who is foolish, somebody who is immature. There's no experience in their life. There's foolishness. It's not a commendable term or a commending term like being a child is. And what he's saying here is, hey, look, there's a lot of you who you should be mature, more mature by now. And I hear people who have been around for a while, they'll quote a verse like that, and they always quote that verse to mean, yes, and so therefore the church must do more of this. The church must do better of that. You must do this. You must feed me. You must do this. You must do it. And that has nothing to do with what's in that verse. That verse is not saying it's anybody's problem except yours. You are the inexperienced one. In fact, let's go back and let's describe exactly how maturity or getting meat, what it means here. Last part. But solid food is for the mature. The mature, okay. Who is the mature? Who by constant use. Use. Who is the mature? Not the person who's got all the Bible knowledge. Not the person who's been going to church. Not the person who, you know, who has all the right political views. Not the No. Who by constant use has tangibly followed through on the milk or the things that God's given. It doesn't matter what the ideas are. It matters what gets on the canvas. What gets on the canvas? What gets on the music chart? You know, there's people in this country, Christians, who are educated way beyond their obedience. I mean, the last thing that some of you need is to ever pick up the Bible again. Last thing you ever need is to ever come to church again. I'm speaking hypothetically here. Because you just need to do what you know. You need to do it. You need to tangibly follow through what you know. And you put more stuff in the shopping cart of your mind is just muddying up the water, the thing that God gave you a long time ago that you have not followed through on. I remember talking with a guy a while ago. I said, man, I want to go get a doctorate. I want to get a doctorate to go, you know, deal with the problems of the inner city. He's a younger guy. I said, dude, just go to the inner city. Just go there. Go there and, like, serve people there. I'm not against education. Get your education. But you know, at your age, you need to actually be there. Then go get some more learning. Do something. Tangibly contribute. Tangibly grow the thing. Fourth foundation for growth is that growth is intentional. It's not accidental. Growth is intentional. It's not accidental. You know, look at these beautiful, incredible pieces of art and we'll think that, well, somebody just had an immediate stroke of genius and boom, they're just gifted. Like I remember when I was in high school, you know, the big song was Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. Remember that one? And she's buying the stairway to heaven. You know, that song, I loved That's, I would do all kinds of things that I can't talk about in church while that song was happening, but it was a fantastic song. Well, you know, one of the myths about that song, or it's true about the song, I don't know what, but people are all concerned that it was some kind of satanic song. And one of the reasons people would say, oh, that song is bad, 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 is because Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, when they wrote that song, apparently it like came together in like 5 minutes. They just sat down and boom, this incredible song was created. And people said, oh, see, that was nasty stuff happening there. You can't have a song like that quick and that's on a spiritual nature unless Satan was involved with it. I mean, that's stupid things people believe. It's weird, you know. Here's the deal. Those guys didn't write that song in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. There was hours and hours of work. There was years and years of doing their craft that enabled artistic and creative genius to explode. You know the thing we saw earlier in the service? You know, with Neil, Rich, and Josh doing that stuff up there? That was all improvised. There wasn't any practice for that. They didn't know what each other was going to play. They didn't know what was going to paint. You come, every service, that painting will be different. Are they just winging it? No, they are building on years and years of being in their art, years and years of their craft. And growth is similar. It's very similar. You don't just automatically grow. It requires thought, it requires effort, and it requires discipline. You know, growth is very, very simple. Not easy. Very simple. There are simple things that you must do on a day in, day out, week in, week out basis. Attitudes, actions, behaviors, mindsets. It's intentional. We try to just do everything around here to be intentional to help all of us, not you, us, grow. We did our 9/11 service on the eve of 9/11. I had some people come to me and say, hey, wow, it's kind of wild. Didn't take up an offering. I mean, gosh, got all those people. Man, it seemed like a great time to get some cash. How come you didn't take up an offering that night? Well, believe me, it had nothing to do with our financial needs around here. Believe me, they would have loved to pass the bag that night. But, you know, the most important thing was growth. And as we thought about that whole thing, we thought, you know, just in the rhythm of the night, what we're trying to deal with, a bag being passed is going to be distracting. It's not going to help people grow in the areas that we want people to grow in. It's going to be like a grinding of gears. And that's what it's like when we grow in our life. We have to think, okay, how am I responding to this? My wife and I last night, you know, got in a spat, you know. On our relative scale of spats, it was a little higher one. A lot higher one, you know, for us. And, you know, I get into the things, and my primary thing is I want to win. That's my primary thing, you know. But I realize that's my primary thing, and so I go, I got to, you know, think about this here. And it takes effort and discipline to go, all right, why am I saying the things I'm saying? Why am I feeling the things I'm feeling right now? You know, is this a growth opportunity for me and for our relationship? You know, as opposed to just doing the easy thing, which is, you know, saying stuff and powering up or whatever. You know, it takes effort and discipline to kind of try to, you know, pull in your tongue, which I didn't do that well, by the way. It's hard. It's hard. Very simple to do. Not easy. Very simple. But that's how we grow, and that's how relationships grow. 1 Peter 2:1-3, last scripture verse I'll share with you today, says this: therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind, like newborn babies. Crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. That you may grow up. That's what God wants to do, is grow up. And here's one application I want to give for us before we close our time out here. It's this. That whole list, there's a whole list of those scriptures that don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. If you walk out of here today thinking, okay, here's all the things I'm going to do in my life, this and this and this and this and this, you will get overwhelmed by it. You need to walk out in the midst of your growth and say, okay, what is the one thing? What is the one thing that I'm going to grow and work on? What is the one thing? You know, and I'll do that. And what you do is, after you do the one thing, you start actually recognizing your own voice, and you actually start listening to your own voice, and you start following through in your own voice. See, the problem is, so many of us have told ourselves so many things for so long that we haven't followed through on, that we make a new commitment to ourselves to grow in an area, we go, well, yeah, right, whatever, I'll just forget that one. Because we haven't followed through in the things that we've wanted to grow in, or the things that we've made commitment to ourselves on. So just think of one thing and make it very easy. Like if you wanted to You know, do something physical. Say to yourself, I'm going to drink a half a gallon of water a day. All I'm going to do. And you know, after a week of that, you go, hey, man, I did that. I said I was going to do it. I did it. You know, if you want to deal with your tongue and try to stop doing gossip and all that stuff, do stuff. I've done this. Go in the meeting and say, this meeting, I'm going to commit myself to not saying a word. Not saying, and then at the end of the meeting, you say, hey, man, I followed through on what I said. And you start building a growth track record. See, the fact of the matter is we are not masterpieces. We are works in progress. Masterpieces are completed. None of us in here are completed. Michelangelo had 14 masterpieces. 14. He had 44 works of art. They were works in progress. And you can go to museums in Italy or other places, and you'll see blocks of stone with an arm coming out. And that's like we are. You know, we are blocks of stone that are being worked on and grown on, and we have an area of life that starts to be the way it should be, and boom, our arm comes out. We start having our mouth work the way it should be, and boom, a finger comes out. We start dealing with our emotions, and our emotions start going the right way, and boom. And what happens is, that's what growth is, popping all of our limbs, all of our extremities, out of this rough, hewn object. God is chipping on us, we're growing, in the process, we are becoming a masterpiece, and that's what God wants from us. That's what we're going to try to do this series, is create masterpieces. Let's pray. God, you are a good God. You are. You are a good God. And I thank you that you are so patient with us. Patient in the midst of our growth and patient in the midst of our growing pains. I ask that as we get ready to leave here today, that the parts of this message that were right for us, that you will use them to grow us. And that we will have a sober understanding of who we are. And that who we are becomes what you are right now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.